Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Sunday, July 13th. Happy Resurrection Day. Yesterday, we finished up the guided tour through the Zondervan NIV Student Study Bible, and today we're just going to focus in on Luke's Gospel. We'll also start reading from the Psalms each day, just a little snippet. So for the months of July and a little bit of August, we're going to have a lighter schedule as it relates to reading. And then in the middle of August, we're going to start the book of Isaiah. Wayne often talks about loving the book of Isaiah, and so we're going to look to Isaiah and read not all of it, but portions of Isaiah each day until we get to the Advent season. As we are beginning a week, that means we have a new memory verse, and it's from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 23. But the one who receives the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. As we turn over to Luke's Gospel, we are going to read from the Message paraphrase this week. I am starting in Luke 13, verses 1 through 17. The title says, "Unless you turn to God." About that time, some people came up and told him about the Galileans Pilate killed while they were at worship, mixing their blood with the blood of the sacrifices on the altar. Jesus responded, "Do you think those murdered Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans? Not at all. Unless you turn to God, you too will die." And those 18 in Jerusalem the other day, the ones crushed and killed when the Tower of Siloam collapsed and fell on them, do you think they were worse citizens than all other Jerusalemites? Not at all. Unless you turn to God, you too will die. Then he told them a story. A man had an apple tree planted in his front yard. He came to it expecting to find apples, but there weren't any. He said to the gardener, "What's going on here? For 3 years now, I've come to this tree expecting apples, and not one apple have I found. Chop it down. Why waste good ground with it any longer?" The gardener said, "Let it live another year. I'll dig around it and fertilize, and maybe it will produce next year. If it doesn't, then chop it down." He was teaching in one of the meeting places on the Sabbath. There a woman present, so twisted and bent over with arthritis that she couldn't even look up. She had been afflicted with this for 18 years. When Jesus saw her, he called her over. "Woman, you're free." He laid hands on her, and suddenly she was standing straight and tall, giving glory to God. The meeting place president, furious because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, said to the congregation, 6 days have been defined as work days. Come on one of these six if you want to be healed, but not on the seventh, the Sabbath." But Jesus shot back, "You frauds. Each Sabbath, every one of you regularly unties your cow or donkey from its stall, leads it out for water, and then thinks nothing of it. So why isn't it all right for me to untie this daughter of Abraham and lead her from the stall where Satan had her tied these 18 years. When he put it this way, his critics were left looking quite silly and red-faced. The congregation was delighted and cheered him on. In this 13th chapter of Luke, the people are trying to grapple with why a tragedy happens. And this is very poignant to us in these days as well, as we have also been asking ourselves the questions, why, Lord, why would this happen? I want to read some commentary from Daryl Bach's Luke commentary as it relates to why the Galileans were killed when they were bringing their worship, their sacrifice to the altar, and also why the people were killed in the Tower of Siloam. First, Jesus responds by raising the question of theodicy. In other words, was it God's judgment? And as we see here in verse 12, he says, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans?" In verse 3, "I tell you, no." Bach says, "Jesus rejects the common answer with a simple negative. This did not happen because the Galileans were more horrible sinners. Even more, Jesus does not pick up the question. Rather, he uses the occasion to give an additional warning about a more fundamental issue. The threat of a tragic end is present for all. The issue is not when death will happen or why, but avoiding a terminal fate with even greater consequences. Only repentance will prevent the death that lasts." The comparison is between dying tragically in this life and perishing ultimately before God. Without a change of view about Jesus, the black cloud of death hovers over all. This tragedy makes evident the fragile character of life. Jesus issues a call to repent, for disaster looms for the unresponsive. And so that's why he says here in verse 3, "I tell you no, but unless you repent, you too will perish." Okay, let's move on over to the Psalms, where we learn what it is like to live in God's presence here on earth. Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is on the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." Some of you probably know that psalm and wanted to keep going. "He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers." Thank you for listening along as we read God's word together. I want to leave you with that image of a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season. I want to pray that we would delight in the law of the Lord as we meditate on it day and night. And I also want to pray for the unrepentant, those who haven't come to faith in Jesus Christ yet, and just take some time to lift up those whom we love who need a special touch from the Lord. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you that you are almighty and you are unfailing in your love. Your mercy flows down. You bless us by living water and you give us fruitful lives as we plant ourselves beside you. It's all grace, though, Lord. Thank you for putting us in places where it makes sense and we understand the gospel and you give us the knowledge and wisdom to follow you. We thank you for that grace. And we pray, Lord, for the unrepentant and those who haven't come to faith yet. According to the words that are in the Book of Common Prayer, "Merciful God, you desire not the death of sinners, but rather that they should turn to you and live. And through your only Son, you have revealed yourself as the God who pardons iniquity. Have mercy on the unrepentant and those who do not believe." And I'm going to give you some time right now just to think of those whom you love, whom you know, whom you've met that need to know Jesus. Awaken in them, by your word and Holy Spirit, a deep sense of their sinfulness and peril. Take from them all ignorance, hardness of heart, and contempt for your word. Grant them to know and feel that there is no other name under heaven given among men by which they must be saved, but only the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so bring them home and number them among your children, that they may be yours forever. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen.